It's time to catch up with another 2021 Masters Class member. Let's get started with episode 9 of the ATA Nation podcast.
Sir, I will live with perseverance in the spirit of Taekwondo. Courtesy for fellow students. Integrity within myself. And to become a black belt leader. Welcome to the ATA Nation podcast.
Welcome back to the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Master Zach Hayden, and I am your host for the ATA Nation podcast, the podcast for all our friends and family in Songam Taekwondo Nation out there. It's nice to hear from you. Hopefully, you have had a great weekend, and you're ready to get back to training again this week. One thing that I need you to remember to do is a register for districts that is ending this week. So if you are listening to this in time, you need to make sure you register for districts if you have qualified. If you're not sure if you qualified, talk to your instructor. You need to make sure that you get that registration done right away. We want to have a great districts event all across the country. So make sure you get registered right away. Now, let's get started with our interview today. We have another member of the 2021 Masters class, Master nominee. Catherine is our guest today. So let's get to our interview.
Special guest interview.
Okay, ATA Nation, we have with us today another Masters nominee. We have Masters candidate, actually. Master candidate Catherine, how are you today, ma'am?
Oh, I'm good, but sir, actually, I'm Master nominee.
Nominee. Now,
yes, all the classes Master nominee now. We're okay. Good.
Excellent. So, hey, that actually brings me to a great question that we had somebody ask. What's the process? Okay, I know there's a lot of different titles that come as you go through the process. Can you give us just a little rundown of the process? And then I want a little more information about you. But how does this whole mastership thing work?
Well, so far from what I'm gathering, you become a master candidate when you pass yours from fifth degree to sixth degree, and then you apply for mastership. And then after you apply, ATA headquarters will look at, review all your participation. Have you been at, I think you had to have nine national events, which include like Vegas training, spring nationals, fall nationals, or the world competitions and seminars.
Gotcha. And so that would get you from, you start as a master's nominee or candidate?
No, it starts out as candidate. And then we move to nominee.
You would think I would remember this, but it is a lot of terminology. All right. Yes. So you are a master's nominee sure. At this point. Sure. So that means you've been accepted, everything, you're good to go as far as getting the training in, making sure you complete all your training and your assignments and those kind of things. And then there's like that 2-day period that you become a master's inductee, and then you're boom, finally a master.
Awesome. Well, I understand. That's correct.
So, can you give us a little background on your martial arts journey? What's kind of your origin story in the martial arts?
Actually, I was like a college athlete, and you know, I used to play flag football. So I kind of thought it was like I always could handle myself per se. And one day I was at work. I'm a special education teacher during the day. And I ended up breaking up a fight between a 180-pound kid and a 300-pound kid. Mm. I'm ducking, weaving, going, okay, this is not making sense. And a friend of mine talked me into going to a Taekwondo class, and I got hooked.
And when was that? What?
That was in 1998.
Okay, awesome. And is that the school, the instructor that you're still with at this point?
No, I have changed a couple instructors.
Okay.
I started out with Mr. Tony Page, who has left ATA now. And then he actually, he left St. Louis and kind of like just left the entire school. He went to another city, and I ended up running a club for 16 years before I ended up getting him in my own building.
Oh, okay. So you've got a lot of experience in the club school environment.
Yes. Yeah, between teaching during the day and then teaching at night. And then because of my special ed background, they kind of, it kind of like that aura, I guess you could call it, just kind of followed me.
Mm-hmm.
Because my club has always been at least 60, 70% special abilities. Even in my school today, we have our typical students as well, but we probably have at least 60 to 70% of kids who have, you know, ADHD is not a big deal, but we have a lot of autism and processing delays and things of that nature.
Okay, so did you get into the instruction, obviously with special education as your background, you know, as an athlete, you got right into the martial arts. It was something that really stuck with you. I believe you're with Master Shank, is that correct now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, my instructor is Master Shank. I'm totally blessed. He's like, he's the calm no matter what happens. He's always calm. He's an amazing leader. I couldn't have asked for a better instructor.
Yeah, he's a very smart guy. Definitely knows what he's doing. Great leader. I agree. So you got into the martial arts right away. Very excited. Were you pulled right to helping and instruction and teaching in that way as well?
No, actually what happened was I started helping out with Mr. Page, and he had knee surgery. So there were some recommended black belts at the time that were starting to help run the school in St. Louis. And that was way before Master Shank even showed up in St. Louis. And so then next thing I know, he left and the St. Louis school was closing. There was no ATA schools in St. Louis at the time. And parents came to me because they had their kids, and they ended up paying. I just bought my first house. I didn't have money to start a school.
Mm-hmm.
And I had parents that were like, look, we will sponsor you, whatever we need to do. And they put up the first month's rent in this community center to rent out these rooms. And then 16 years later, the community center decided to jack my rent up. And I'm like, really, after 16 years? And then I went and found my own space.
Wow. So you were more reluctant into the instruction side of things, or at least forced into it by circumstance. Not that you wouldn't have maybe come to that on your own, but it was thrust upon you.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have had a problem. I didn't have a problem helping teach,
mm-hmm.
but to say I was going to run my own programs and run my own school, that was not even a thought at the time when we started the club. And then when we went into our own building, because it was my friends all laughed. They're like, what happened to you? I'm not going to be not going to own my own building. I'm not going to be a school owner. A club is fine. And actually, that's even my own history is I wasn't going past fourth degree, because there was no reason for me to, because I wasn't going to do all the other pieces of owning a school, owning, you know, having all that. It wasn't in my thought. And once I opened up my own building, I kind of was like, well, I owe it to these kids now. And then I started moving up, passing my fifth degree, then passing, you know, getting on to my sixth degree.
So now reflecting back on that, what do you think about that? Being you're a sixth degree now, you're going for a master in Sangam Taekwondo. You know, what do you think about that?
Well, it's still really surreal to me because a month before my test, Chief Master Winnin called me, and of course, you know, I was like, hey, you're going to get your test in with the pandemic being craziness. But he shared with me that I was the second female in Region 115 to go from white belt to sixth degree. And he was like, we're all really excited. I didn't even have knowledge of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, he's like, this is a big deal. And I'm like, wow, I had no clue. So I joined, and he's like, you're joining Senior Master Kelly Harmon. He's like, that is an amazing company to be classified in with. And I was like, wow. He was like, so break your boards, pass your test. I'm like, yes, sir.
No pressure.
Yeah, exactly. No extra pressure. Thank you, sir. And then he said to me was, you know, with this passing of your sixth-year, you will become the highest ranking female in St. Louis. And then with once my mastership is accomplished, I'll be the only female in St. Louis that's a master with the ATA. So yeah, it got bigger than I expected. And Master Shank has helped me keep everything in perspective and working through. He's like, remember, this is your journey. Don't let that extra pressure mess anything up, so to speak, or, you know, overwhelm you.
Mm-hmm.
He's just great. It's like, I can call him and be like, okay, I'm feeling it. And he's like, breathe. Okay, now I'm good.
So you are, we're about halfway through the process or so, I would say. There's been some of the trainings across the country for mm-hmm. this master's class. I know Nationals is coming up, and a lot of people are going to be out there for training. So how's the training go? What are you thinking? Give us your thoughts on the process so far.
So far, the process has been amazing. I've done some online things with Grandmaster was on there. We've done those. I went out to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, did that with Grandmaster Jaeger. That was amazing. That was a lot of fun. Good. I did miss Grandmaster Crusoe's because my region had a tournament. So I was like, oh. I personally have decided I'm going to do everything I possibly can, just because to me, I'm only making master one time.
Mm-hmm.
I may get senior master or chief master someday later down the road. But right now, I'm getting master one. This is the first time. So I want to do everything that I possibly can.
Yes, ma'am.
They give us a book reading assignments. I do the reading assignments. I do the writings. I send them in. And then the same thing with the workouts. Like right now, they assign us like 100 push-ups. So I just went ahead and added 100 sit-ups because I'd been doing them before. And then you have to do 200 kicks. And like right now, we're on brown and red belt form. And then we have double weapons. And I'm sure probably Monday we'll get emails saying, okay, now add this or do this now.
Yes, ma'am.
So that, you know, they've done some bios and things like that. Who are you? What's your philosophy of education? What's your philosophy of a business? I guess to try and find out where your brain is, so to speak, mm-hmm. I guess, on this whole process.
Yes, ma'am. And so it sounds like with going to do all these different things, are you, I assume you're going to go out to Nationals then. I know that was one of the optional ones. And are you going to be heading up to Turtle Peak?
Yes, sir. Definitely. Awesome. Yes.
Good. Yeah. Well, I know for myself, that was a great experience. I think you'll really, really enjoy that. I want to go back real quick to, you said your school has got a large percentage of special ability students.
Mm-hmm.
As an instructor, as someone who works with special ability students, what advice would you give parents out there, fellow students out there, instructors out there, to encourage special ability students to participate, to help us have a welcoming attitude? What are some thoughts about that you could pass along to ATA Nation?
I think the biggest thing is not to be scared. I think a lot of times people in our society are like, I don't know how to handle this person. I don't know how to approach them. They're evil. They breathe. They have blood. They do everything you and I do. And one of the things I always tell a parent when they come in, I'm like, look, everybody is at McDonald's. Your child is going to start their journey. And if you think about the black belt process, at least for me, my process went from, I really enjoyed the competition side. Then all of a sudden I became an instructor. So, and now even my mastership is, you know, so that's been a different road. Every master nominee is going through a different process because we've had different experiences in our lives. It's the same thing for someone going through a black belt. Everybody, if you think about our process, we have weapons, we have forms, we have sparring. Every person excels in a different area. And it doesn't mean that they're a horrible black belt. Maybe they're not the best spar, but they're really good at forms or, you know, weapons. It just means that's their journey, that's their road. And I tell my parents, look, we are going to take your child's strengths, and I'm going to try and use those strengths to make it better, whatever, improve their weaknesses. But I think the big thing is just don't be scared. I mean, what is the worst that happens? It doesn't work. But what if it works? And now all of a sudden, because you took that chance, a kid is excelling, or I even have special abilities kids teaching special ability kids.
Oh, that's great.
And the quote unquote typical kids. I do have two world champs at my school right now. Both of them are special abilities. My one young man, he's deaf and he has autism. He's a 3-time reigning world champion. He's going to Worlds, of course, this year. I will be surprised if he doesn't do very well. And then his mom has, I don't remember the name of the disease. It's some big long word. But one leg is bigger than the other, so she has a physical disability. She's a 2-time reigning world champion, and she's up for all 4 titles this year.
That's fantastic.
So that's exciting. And I've had different kids over the years. And whenever I judge at a national event, I always volunteer. I'm like, I'll take special abilities. Mm. I don't mind. Please. Now, Stevenson, please put me in there. And she always does. Cause I just volunteer. And the joy you get from the families is amazing.
Yes, ma'am.
A couple of years ago, I'm probably going off. You want me to tell you? Cut me off. You want?
No. Tell the story. I think this is great for people to hear.
A couple of years ago, we had a young man named Jeremy Roberts. He was a several-time world champion. He was out of Texas. Great guy. I only really saw him at major events, and I became friends with his mom on Facebook. And Jeremy had a kidney transplant. I think that's what it was. But it basically, the body all of a sudden rejected it for whatever reason. And he ended up passing away. Well, the year that he passed away, we went to Worlds, and his mom called me and said, I finally got your phone number. We're spreading Jeremy's ashes. And I was like, oh, okay. And she was like, can you please join us in the garden? Mm. And I was like, really? And she was like, yes, I want you to come join us in the garden. You were one of Jeremy's favorite judges.
Oh.
He always looked forward to it. So I joined them in the garden, and his mom was like, here, I want you to spread some of the ashes too. And it was just like, wow, like just showed that connection. I still talk to his mom, even though Jeremy has passed several years now. She already told me, she's like, I'm not missing your mastership. She's like, I will be there. And I'm like, really? Again, you know, and that's the same thing. I had a parent from Arizona asked, okay, ma'am, I want to make sure my son addresses you with the honor you deserve. And I'm like, I'm still in his gather. I'm the same person. But she goes, no, I don't want him to call you the wrong title. And I'm like, right now it's okay. Because the kids are going to have to adjust. I mean, as it happens. But she wants to start working ahead of time to make sure that he gives me the honor that she feels he should.
Wow.
And but that's the fun part of special abilities.
Yes. And what a testament to, you know, I mean, any division, you know, we need to think about that as judges, like what an impact you can make on somebody's life, you know, especially in a special abilities division. But, you know, even in other divisions, like, you know, we're making impacts on people's lives.
Yeah, and that's the greatest thing about, I think, what we do as martial artists is, you know, yes, we teach them how to kick and punch and do self-defense. But to me, I look at kicking and punching as nothing different than my pencil in school, in the classroom. That's our pencils, is our kicking, our punching. That's how we help them maybe develop self-esteem, maybe all of a sudden come out of their shell.
Yes, ma'am.
Have their safe place. And that's what our studios are supposed to be, is developing their safe place. Developing that family atmosphere. I read the book Leaders Eat Last, and it talks about the circle of safety. And I've really worked hard to implement that even more after reading it in my school. I had a black belt testing, and part of our testing is they have to plank for 1 minute after doing kicking and punching for 10 or 15. Next thing I know, all of the black belts that were in the studio circled the 2 young men that were planking and just planked with them. I did not stop them. I was just like, wow, this is cool. The parents were up yelling, and you know, everybody was excited. With the pandemic, the families could not come inside, but my school is all glass in the front, and the entire sidewalk was just packed with family members and friends and other students and parents. And it was really exciting for these 2 young men to make it through their black belt test with so much support. Especially when they're ready just to die at the end, you know, they're
yes,
like,
ma'am.
I'm so tired. But they, and again, those 2 young men have completely different journeys. One is really good at weapons. One is a great little spar.
Yeah.
So what,
that is fantastic. I love that. You know, that thought, and just helping us to remind us that everybody's got their own journey. You know, no matter where you are, where you started on the journey. And that's one of the reasons I think it's cool to hear these different master candidate and master nominees stories, you know, because it's your class is made up of all these individuals who come from different places, who have different backgrounds, different stories, different journeys to get there. Have you got to meet and talk to many of your fellow classmates?
Some of my fellow classmates are people I've competed with over the years. So some of them. We had in Sioux Falls, I want to say there's 9 or 10 of us there at that one. But we've also been doing a lot of Zoom training, or not training, but I should say more meetings, trying to set up, like we picked our class name and we're waiting to hear. I think the council has accepted it. Because I sent in the class name saying, okay, Master Chief Mescal, this is what we've accepted. This is what we voted on. And we went through several different voting saying, you know, this, I want to be this because of this reason and things like that. I guess I can say it. Unless if it changes, they'll tell me. But we, as a class, we voted to be the Turtle Masters. We're not sea turtles. Yes, the Turtle Masters. We're not sea turtles, and we're not the Teenage Ninja Turtles. But, you know, when you do all the readings, you learn a lot about the Korean culture. The turtle is very important all the way to, you know, Grandmaster Staff. And it's all very important in that culture, and that's why I liked it. And I was like, oh, that's good. So we, you know, I sent the email to Chief Master Cole and was like, this is what we have chosen as a class. So now we're moving to that next step of trying to figure out our class motto and, where our class gifts will be.
Cool.
And we're in process of that. Andrea Jung has been helping out. She's great with the polls. She's been doing fantastic. So between the two of us, we get everything, you know, get the class together. But she does all the poll work. She's like amazing on the computer. And we just get the class together. We send up everything. They vote. And then once we know what we're going to, you know, what that will be, then I will send the email to Chief Master Cole and we'll, you know,
go from there.
That part of the, go from there. Not sure what the next step is. She'll tell me what my next step is to instruct the class with our guide.
Yes, ma'am. With, I assume the technology has probably been helpful in this whole, you know, getting to know your class and stuff. Is a large percentage going to be at Spring Nationals? Is that where you guys will probably see most people?
That, I think for the first time, yes.
That'll be nice to get all
some
together.
Some of those abroad are not going to be able to make. We're not sure about some of those abroad.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, that's one of the upsides of technology, getting to, you know, meet people and see them and get to know them even when we're not able to all work out together physically. Right. So, well, ma'am, any parting words for those out there in ATA Nation, inspiring them to continue their training, or just anything random you want to say to the students and instructors out there in ATA Nation?
You know, honestly, the ATA has been an amazing family, and that's not just my personal studio. I'm blessed with a great instructor who is, I mean, he is just like one. He's a good friend, not just my instructor, but even what I love about ATA is no matter where I go, my partner is always like, "Do you have no Taekwondo this weekend, please?" And I'm like, "Okay." But we're everywhere. So that's like so awesome. Our friends are from coast to coast and even abroad. So that is probably the biggest family you could ever have. And even when we're in Little Rock, you see somebody has an ATA shirt on, you know, they're part of our family, even if you personally don't know them. And that's probably the greatest thing is ATA they help each other out. And I think if we continue that kind of love, we're going to keep going and growing as, you know, an organization. There's
nothing
ma'am. Stopping us.
For sure. Well, I want to thank you for your time today, and myself as well as all of those out in ATA Nation want to encourage you in your training, and we look forward to seeing you go through the mastership ceremony in October in Little Rock. So keep it up.
Thank you, sir.
Here's what's going on in ATA Nation.
I probably don't have to remind you guys, but Spring Nationals right around the corner in Las Vegas. Going to be some great training opportunities. Obviously, competition again is going to be an amazing event. So make sure you've got that on your calendar. Also, districts, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, make sure you get your hotel rooms. Make sure you get things registered if you haven't done that already. Hopefully, you haven't waited too long and missed the registration if you are qualified for districts. Don't forget, these are the individuals that were qualified for competing at the 2020 districts that ended up getting canceled. They're competing at this districts this year. So that is those are the two main events that we need to remember. But don't forget, there are regional tournaments around the country going on. Online training and world championships is going to be here before you know it. And man, I cannot wait. I'm kind of excited about going to Phoenix, a new location, get to go to a new city. Frankly, right now, I don't care where it is. I'm just super excited to get to have a world championships and get to see my ATA family at our annual family reunion. So I am super excited about that. Get your hotel reservations set for World Championships. Make sure you've checked all that stuff out. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all we got for today. Make sure that you are out there taking action.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the ATA Nation Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share with your ATA family.
Secret part at the end. Dang it. We went through another episode and I forgot to mention about our Secret Insiders group. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have made it to this part of the show, that means you really should be on the Insiders because you made it this far to the end of the show. So text me 260-250-3975. Be part of the Insiders. Get inside information. Get to ask some questions. I'm still working on those Masters Council interviews. They're busy people. I'm the busy guy, and it's been a little crazy recently. I actually just got back from our weekend camp with our students, so I'm a little exhausted right now. And so this week I'm going to work really hard on scheduling some of those interviews out, see if I can get them scheduled out in advance so we can have some of these in the can ready to roll. But until then, if you are in the Insiders, 260-250-3975. Send me a message and let me know who you would like to hear from on the podcast. I've got a couple of requests for some of the ATA ambassadors. Who else would you guys like to see hear from, I guess? Let me know. Text me. Take care.